The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with time. Tick, tick, ticking away in Green Bay. And if you think that doesn't matter, we will tell you why you're wrong right off the top. Meanwhile, hold on a minute. Did you see what Russell Wilson did on Twitter? Does this mean he's leaving Seattle? We've got the very latest. Plus, our big fella has the one way to save the career of this big fella, and you're not going to believe what it is. All that and more as we get up with you on a Friday edition, starting right now. As the song says, all by myself here in the studio, but by no means alone on this Friday edition of Get Up. Look at the squad we've put together today. Tannenbaum is making us all mad because it's 74 degrees in Boca Raton, and candidly, none of us want to hear it. As Damian Woody in the house Tannenbaum bought for him, Kimberly Martin's ready to go, and the basketball guys are fired up. Let's begin with the dunk of the night. Celtics, Nets, take a look at this. Jason Tatum working on Andre Drummond. Oh, and he puts it down. Take another look. Marcus Smart with the setup on the no-look pass, and that is Tatum with no regard for humanity. A 129-106. Nets coach Steve Nash, meanwhile, stressing urgency for his team after yet another demoralizing loss.
We know there's urgency. We know that we're not going to have a half a season to kind of figure this thing out. We're going to be up against the clock. And our guys, like I said, they've been great because, you know, there's a lot of pressure and circumstances that make it difficult, you know, as you're dropping in the standings. But their spirit has been outstanding. So that's the spirit, I think, of taking it day by day, game by game, trying to improve. And at the same time, we recognize the situation we're in.
But here's the situation. Things are about to get a whole lot harder. Their next seven games for Brooklyn are all against East Conference teams that are currently in the playoffs. The Nets are currently favored to win none of them. But the good news is five of the seven are on the road, so they should have Kyrie. And then at some point, we will expect them to get Kevin Durant back, and then everything should be entirely different. So let's get a big perk and not quite as big Zach into the conversation here. And Zach, I'll start with you. I'm struggling to figure out how much this matters in games that until they have Ben Simmons on the floor and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving all playing, this almost feels like this is a preseason for Brooklyn. But do they have enough time to turn it into what they're going to need it to be when the playoffs begin?
Well, that's the question, because I feel like I'm living in an alternative universe with the Nets where everyone's asking me if they can make the finals. And I'm like, they're two games over 500. You just saw their next five games. We don't know when Durant is coming back. We don't know when Simmons is coming back. Can they make the playoffs first? They have to go through the play-in tournament where you're one bad shooting game, one bad foul trouble to your star game away from being out. I think they have a pretty damn high ceiling when they get their whole team together, but they're running out of time. And the first step is like, get into the playoffs. When is this losing going to stop?
So how would you assess the concern here, Big Perk? I can't make up my mind. Zach is confused with it. What are you thinking about Brooklyn as you watch them right now?
Well, let me put it to y'all this way. Do we realize that the playoffs started last night? Because of the play-in tournament, we have to realize playoff basketball started last night. Every game matters. You have all teams across the NBA that are fighting to try to get in the play-in tournament or get out of the play-in tournament. So right now, you're looking at the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm looking at them sitting at the 8th seed, like Zach said, with their scheduling coming, with their schedule being as tough as it is in the next couple of weeks. And then we don't know when it's Ben Simmons going to play. We don't know when Kevin Durant is going to be back. And then the big question is, we don't know what type of shape Ben Simmons is going to be in. We haven't seen Ben Simmons play in over 7 months. He haven't touched a basketball court and played a full game in 7 months. And they have less than 30 games to get it together. The way that the Eastern Conference is looking right now, the way that the Chicago Bulls, the Boston Celtics, the 76ers, the Toronto Raptors, all these teams are looking pretty damn good. I'll tell you what. The Brooklyn Nets are walking a fine line because if they get into the play-in tournament and they have to face a young team like the Atlanta Hawks or the Charlotte Hornets, it could go either way and they could possibly not make the playoffs.
That would really be something. We will have them tomorrow night on ABC in Milwaukee, you know, which should be an interesting game. Kyrie will be there, and we'll see what we can glean from this. That said, very quickly, before I move on to other business, Zach, what is the ceiling? The question on there is, what are they if they are at full strength? Can you envision a world where they are the first of the options that you just brought up, where those guys all do come together, they do meld relatively quickly, and this team is actually in the NBA Finals?
I can. I think they're that good when they're all together. I think, I mean, the Joe Harris injury is an underrated variable here. I think they really need him. But even without him, Simmons, Durant, Kyrie, healthy, engaged, playing every game with shooting around them, is dangerous enough to make the finals no matter what their road is. But like Perk said, they have 22 games left to get this together. Their road is going to be really tough. So I don't think I would pick them over Milwaukee or even Miami. We'll have to see what Philly looks like. But yes, yes, that is a possible outcome.
There are so many variables in all of this, many of which they themselves do not control. Meanwhile, Perk, you told me 2 weeks ago, if the Sixers get James Harden, they become your team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Well, they got him, and tonight they have announced he will play his first game in a Philadelphia uniform. Big Perk, what are the Sixers going to be with Harden and Embiid together?
Well, one, they have the best duo in the NBA. Two, we're going to see Joel Embiid get so many easy buckets. Those contested twos that he have to take and make that before James Harden got there, those are going to be uncontested. Wide open layups. You know why, Greeny? Because James Harden have embraced the role of actually playing the point guard position. Remember, last year we had the same question about how would James Harden fit with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant? Who would sacrifice? James Harden did. He arguably was the best point guard in the NBA. So sit back tonight. I want you to pop your popcorn or eat your peanuts or whatever you do. Wiggle your toes like that and just watch the show. It's going to be a fantastic show.
What are the Sixers in your mind? Sorry, Big Perk. What are the Sixers in your mind, Zach? As you look in the East, you just ran through. Milwaukee feels like a favorite. Miami has been the best team all the way through. The Bulls have been terrific, and we're going to show you their highlights a little bit. DeRozan had another huge night last night. Where is Philly right now in all this in your mind?
An absolute threat to win the championship. Look, Perk said it. We can sit there and dissect the alleged fit issues between Harden and Embiid on offense. You know what solves fit issues? Having two of the 10 or 12 best players in the league and maybe the MVP frontrunner. Talent solves fit. If anything, I'm looking at how this looks on defense and the guys around them. Do they make enough threes? Do they make enough shots to get the spacing right for Harden and Embiid? There are things to iron out, but the ceiling of those two guys, and I agree, we saw Harden go to a new team last year and buy into, I don't have to score all the points. I don't have to dribble all the time. I'll be the point guard. I think we're going to see that kind of deference toward Embiid, at least early in his Sixers tenure.
All right, guys, stay close. We'll come back to you in a few minutes here. The big fella, our big fella, has some advice for one of the biggest fellas in the league, and it might surprise you what it is. More hoops on the way, guys. Thank you. But let me get to the big NFL story here, the biggest story of the offseason playing out right in front of our eyes. Green Bay, the future of Aaron Rodgers, very much in question. Earlier this week, the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, was asked if he had a handshake agreement with Rodgers to trade him this offseason. I can't stress this enough. Gutekunst told our Rob Domofsky, no, that was not something I told him. Again, I think the whole conversation with Aaron last season before he came back was that regardless, at the end of this past season, that we would sit down as a group and we would work it out one way or another. So let me bring the football crew in here again this morning. We have from right to left on your screen, we have Damian Woody, and we have Mike T, and we have Kimberly Martin. And Mike, I want to start with you because I've been trying to gauge in my own mind, as each day goes by, just how important this is. And I know this is something you can shed some light on, that it is very important. Tell everybody why.
Because right now, deals are getting done with players that have been cut or released, and everybody in the NFL is going to the combine. That's where deals are made. And right now, Greeny, Aaron Rodgers is being incredibly selfish. He's saying that he's this great teammate. He cares deeply about them. Well, how about Preston Smith, Billy Turner, Randall Cobb, all these guys with non-guaranteed contracts? Aaron Rodgers needs to make a decision. You're either in or you're out. If you're out, Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, they're probably going to cut a lot of those contracts that have non-guaranteed dollars. They have a chance to make the most amount of money right now heading into Indy at the Combine. And by him waiting, he's taking dollars out of people he's saying he cares deeply about. So if he's back, bring the band back together. If you're out, let these guys go to the market and get the most money possible.
I see a wry smile on your lips, Damian Woody. Why is that?
Mike T with the players, man. Like, you know, usually Mike T, you know, is always talking about the front office owners. But, man, I mean, I appreciate that, Mike T, considering this palace that you helped me build over here. So, yeah, I really appreciate that. But, listen, I think the momentum is actually with the Aaron Rodgers going back to Green Bay. I just look at some of the moves that's going on in Green Bay. They're creating salary cap space. We saw, before the season how Rodgers wanted more say as far as, you know, guys, you know, players on the roster and all those type of things. And an example of that is Randall Cobb. And so if I'm Aaron Rodgers, okay, and the Greeny, you've heard me say this time and time again. Coach Belichick used to say this, the easiest way to the tournament is winning the division. What is the NFC North right now? The NFC North is two head coach, two organizations that have a new head coach and another one in the Detroit Lions that's still going through a rebuild. That is the easiest way, if Aaron Rodgers is talking about his legacy, that is the easiest way, again, regardless of what we've seen the past couple years with the Green Bay Packers basically fumbling the bag in the NFC Championship game, that is still the easiest way for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's no arguing that. And that I think, is the one thing everyone can agree on. In the meantime, Kmart, there's nothing I love more than your relationship analogies. And so as you look at the power dynamic that exists here between the Packers on one side and Rodgers on the other, how do you see it?
You know what's funny? What struck me was how calm and composed and I have it all together, Brian Gutekunst was. But here's the reality. It's not up to him. Really, yes, he has to decide whether to trade Aaron Rodgers, but this really comes down to if Aaron Rodgers wants to be there. Imagine, Greeny, you propose to a woman, and she says, let me get back to you. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to think about it, and give me a couple weeks, and I'll let you know soon. That tells me that you are not in control. She's in control because she's the one who's going to dictate the course of your life, and you're on her terms. So that, to me, is where the Packers are, and Aaron Rodgers, after 16 years of being that dude, of them having the security of having one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, now he's right. He's got everybody right where he wants them because it's on his terms.
That's an extremely well-made point. I think I speak for everyone. I say the proposal requires an immediate yes. And anything beyond yes is not an acceptable answer. Right? That anything beyond yes, I will, is cause for complete reflection and everything to be rethought before we take one further step. And that is where the Packers are right now. But as Mike T says, the clock is tick, tick, ticking away. All right, we move forward here on Get Up. Busy Friday, we have working coming up. Dak and the Cowboys are a win-now team, but they have some decisions coming soon that could leave them looking much different. We will explain what those are. Plus, nothing more fun than reading into social media moves. Russell Wilson has made a fascinating change. Does it mean his time in Seattle is coming to an end? We'll take you there. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Get a quote at farmers.com. And I want to show you a performance from last night. DeMar DeRozan of the Bulls is making a legitimate case for MVP. Bulls and Hawks first game after the break. We're in the first quarter here, and look at DeRozan finding his spot and throwing it down. Bulls up by 10. Then final seconds of the first. DeRozan had 16 in the first quarter. It was a terrific performance, and it was a really good game. Under 5 minutes to go now. Atlanta down by 8, but not giving up. That's Trae Young for Bogdanovich. He knocks in a three. He had 27 off the bench. Hawks within 5. Less than 3 minutes to go. Hawks down 1. Danilo Gallinari in the paint. That's good. He had 26-9. Hawks have the lead. Less than a minute left in the game. Bulls trailing by 3. DeRozan. No one finds his spots better than he does. He was 15 of 21 from the floor. 37 points for DeRozan. That's the game-winning bucket plus the foul with 20 seconds to go. DeRozan knocking it down. Can you be hotter than this man is? Seventh player in NBA history with 8 straight 35-point games, and the Bulls just keep on winning. DeRozan, the fifth different player in the last 50 years to have 300 points and shoot 60% from the floor in an 8-game span. Look at the names on your screen. That is the company that he's keeping. And every one of them, as you see, except for Michael, one of the years, won the MVP. DeRozan's name is very much in that conversation. More hoops coming up later in the hour. Meanwhile, back to football on the Friday forecast. Let's look at some faces that might be in new places. Kimberly Martin, where do we think Carson Wentz will play this year?
Greeny, this is the level of QB desperation around the league. Any team that needs a QB is going to discuss Carson Wentz. I think Washington Commanders might be a good fit. I know they want to go all in on Russell Wilson. It would be a wonderful storyline if he ended up back in Virginia. But Carson Wentz, despite his flaws, could be a decent consolation prize in Washington.
Well, that's about as enthusiastic as you could be. Tannenbaum, where is Jimmy G going to play this season?
San Francisco, Greeny, let's not overcomplicate things. They have a really, really good team in San Francisco. Trey Lance may be a great player. Why would you get rid of a really good quarterback in his prime? We saw countless teams lose quarterbacks last year. Let's have depth at the most important position.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while here. People thought you were crazy. Now everyone seems to be saying it. I like it. D. Wood, Kmart brought up Russell Wilson. Where do you think he plays this year?
Greeny, I want to give you something more spicy, man, but I think he's going to return back to Seattle. Russell Wilson's been playing footsie with this whole notion of going somewhere else. I wish he'd just come out and just say it. Like, if you want to be out of Seattle, just say it. But he hasn't, and so I want to put him back in Seattle because ultimately I think that's what's going to happen.
Hold on just 1 second, D. Wood. He hasn't actually said it. But maybe with his actions, he's hinting it. I want to show everybody something. If you go on Russell Wilson's Twitter page right now, that's his avatar. That's him as a prep school player in Virginia. Up until earlier this week, Russell Wilson's avatar looked like this. It was him in a Seattle Seahawks uniform. The man who ends every conversation with "Go Hawks" has suddenly taken the Seahawks out of his avatar. So, once again, I turn to my relationship expert, and that's Kimberly Martin. Kmart, how do we read the star quarterback changes the avatar move when it comes to the relationship?
Well, obviously, this is 2022, so the only thing we can do is read into avatars. You know what? On the heels of his agent or whoever, like giving Adam Schefter a list of teams that he'd rather play for, he would be willing to play for, there's a lot of smoke as far as Russell Wilson wanting out. The thing is, people that I talk to around the league still, like Damon said, are not convinced he's actually going to be moved, but I don't want to hear that. I want to hear Russell's going somewhere. And obviously, I mentioned the Washington Commanders make sense from their perspective. They feel like they have a lot of pieces that they can move. Even the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's a team that you pair him with Mike Tomlin, oh boy, they'd be serious in the AFC North.
Absolutely. Look, and Mike T, you were the one who has been ringing the alarm bell in Pittsburgh for the last couple of years on this show, that it just wasn't going to happen with Ben Roethlisberger. But you put Russell Wilson, let's just live in a world where the Steelers figure out a way to get that done. What does Russell Wilson plus Pittsburgh Steelers equal to you, Mike T?
Super Bowl contenders, championship head coach, yep. Championship defense, and now a championship quarterback. So hard to say this, Greeny, but that allows the Steelers to close the gap with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, up is down in that division, but that's the new reality of it. So take me through how that works, Mike T. If you're Seattle, you've got Russell Wilson. We've heard that they have been at times open to the possibility of trading him, but didn't really have flexibility from other options and things like that. So how does this work as the Seahawks consider their possibilities?
You know, Greeny, this one's easy. It's a win-win. Seattle, believe it or not, is the fourth best team in the NFC West. They have to rebuild. If they could get multiple first-round picks for Russell Wilson, now's the time to do so. You rebuild. And now if you're the Steelers, in my opinion, you can't overpay greatness. If it costs an extra one or like two ones and a two, go ahead and pay the bill, because the TJ Watts, the Minkah Fitzpatrick, they're in the prime of their careers. You have young skill players. This is an ideal fit. And you can't overpay a bill that gives you a realistic shot at going to the Super Bowl.
It's so not the Steeler way, but I'm with you. I'd like to see him do it. So, D. Wood, does Russell Wilson changing his avatar change your feeling at all about what you think he'll do this offseason?
See, Greeny, I'm not like, you know, I'm before the social media era. You know what I mean? I'm kind of old school with it, but I know how these young cats be doing it, so I think that's an inkling of something that might happen. I would love to see Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh paired up with Mike Tomlin, because the one thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't rebuild, they reload. And they got the team right now with a quarterback like Russell Wilson to contend.
Can I say one thing to you, D. Wood? You may not be one of the older dudes who likes the TikTok and things like that, but you know who is? Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Jeff Saturday. I want everyone to feast your eyes. Watch the left on your screen. This is Jeff Saturday and friends doing a TikTok in Iceland.
No.
Kmart there in Iceland. What do you think?
No, Jeff. It's not. Don't Jeff. Okay.
That's not Jeff. It can't be.
That can't.
That's not photoshopped.
Wait till I see Jeff.
Whoa.
I like it, Jeff.
Okay, I need that. He needs to do that in studio, or else we won't believe it. We got to see it at the Seaport, or else I'm not buying it.
There is nothing better
than Jeff
Saturday doing a TikTok.
I need that in the pancake, pancake segment.
Exactly right. He's got to do that with the pancakes. There he is in Iceland. We love it, Jeff Saturday. You do your thing. All right, we'll continue in just a moment here. Coming up, Dak Prescott surrounded by talent. Will there be less of it in Dallas in the weeks ahead? The tough calls on the way. We'll break them down next. We are back on Get Up, and the game is called Restructure or Release. These are decisions that teams are making. Kmart, Michael Thomas, do the Saints restructure or release?
So, Greeny, I would say restructure. Listen, I think he carries like a $22 million dead cap hit. I don't want any parts of that. Saints obviously have a lot of cap issues. But more importantly than that, this is a team that's gone through a lot of transition. New head coach. I want to keep some consistency, and keeping Michael Thomas makes sense to me.
Yeah, and we've barely seen him the last couple of years. Tannenbaum, Za'Darius Smith in Green Bay. Restructure or release?
Restructure. Despite only playing one game this year, he's only 29 years old, Greeny. And his first 2 years with the Packers, he had 26 sacks. So when healthy, he is a difference maker. I restructure him and keep him.
And then in Dallas, they have a lot of big decisions to make, Kmart. How about Amari Cooper? Restructure or release?
Greeny, I'm going to say restructure. Listen, is he still a number one? Maybe not, but at the end of the day, I think this is less about Amari and more about Dak. I want to keep as many young, well, I want to keep as many targets as possible around Dak. Michael Gallup coming off an ACL. I like Amari Cooper to stay in Dallas.
Yeah, but to your point, at the number that he's sitting at, it seems unwieldy. These are some of the potential cap hits the Cowboys could take. Look at the star power on your screen. And most importantly, look at the bottom. By releasing Ezekiel Elliott, they would not save any money against the cap this year. They would need to trade him and have the acquiring team be willing to absorb all of the salary. That certainly seems unlikely. So that's not a spot they can go to for cap relief. But Mike T, you were making this point in our meeting before our show this morning that there are a variety of reasons to think that the Cowboys' best chance of winning based on some of the decisions they had to make was actually this past year.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's going to be hard to keep everybody together, and this is where you have to start playing some strategy, Greeny, from a standpoint. It's going to be hard to keep everybody, and when you look at Mel Kiper and Todd McShay's board, there's a lot of depth at the defensive end position. So DeMarcus Lawrence is a great player, but as you just saw in the graphic, if they could save $19 million and keep, as Kimberly alluded to, someone like Amari Cooper, maybe Lael Collins, as much as you hate to lose a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, you say to yourself, with the 24th pick, Greeny, is it reasonable for us to replace him?
Yeah, actually, in McShay's latest mock draft, and this is obviously quite early in the process, he has them taking David Ojabo, who is an edge pass rusher out of Michigan. So that's to that point. So, Kmart, what do we make of this? You have all the spotlight on the coach, all of the pressure to win, really almost can't afford to get off to a slow start, and now the possibility of losing a few of the best players on the roster. What does that add up to?
A potentially difficult situation in Dallas for Dak Prescott, because look, the expectations for Dak from here on out since he got paid are simple. Win a Super Bowl. That's what Jerry wants. He gave you the money. But this is not all on Dak. You know, this team, it's Mike McCarthy's under a lot of pressure to win, but this is a team that, as good as they are, as many weapons as they have, they still need offense. They need to bolster the offensive line. They need some edge help. They need some safety and linebacker help. We talk about Micah Parsons all the time, but the kid can't do it alone. So they need to plug some holes, get some depth on this roster, and I think they'll be in good shape.
Not only that, though, you know, Mike T, Damian Woody brought up earlier the NFC North being a comparatively weak division, and that's an incentive for Rodgers to stay. The Cowboys really feasted on a bad division last year, but the Eagles have the ammunition to get much better. If Washington gets a quarterback, who knows what they might be? We'll see what the Giants are able to do. That division might not be the soft landing for much longer that the Cowboys took advantage of a year ago. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely agree. Coach Parcells had a great expression, which was windows open and close in football. And Philadelphia's going to get better. The Giants are going to get better. And if the Commanders land a quarterback, they have a really good defense. So from a cap and strategy standpoint, it's really going to be hard for Dallas to keep everybody together. And Greeny, to your credit, you said this 2+ years ago about Zeke Elliott, about draft him in the first round, let him play it out, and then move on. And now that $12.5 million, boy, would that come in handy to try to keep, especially on defense, keep that nucleus together. And I think that's the contract that's really going to hurt them.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of question marks there. Guys, stay close. We have so much more football to do. But I want to bring the basketball crew back in as the season's second half is underway. And there'll be a lot of eyes on the Lakers. We'll have them for you on ESPN tonight. They begin with all of these questions. They are struggling. They're currently ninth in the West. Their coach, Frank Vogel, has been on a hot seat. But he says he's not worried about the noise.
I learned to let the noise be noise and, focus on what's in front of me, but that's winning the next game. That's one thing. If it's focusing on my family in the break, I enjoyed the break with my family. So, that's just noise.
That's fair, and we'll see what they can get going. They've got three straight home games starting tonight. Again, we have them in the second game of our doubleheader here on ESPN. They're 6.5 games out of the sixth spot. So LeBron and company have some work to do to get out of the play-in tournament. And bear in mind, as I bring Perk and Zach back into the conversation, getting out of the play-in does two things. One of them is it keeps you from that one-and-done circumstance. The other big perk is it keeps you away from Phoenix and Golden State in the first round, even if you survive. So that, it feels like, is the ultimate goal for a team like the Lakers here. Can they do it? Can this Laker team play their way out of the play-in tournament in the season's final stretch?
Absolutely not, Greeny. Look, listen, the Lakers are dead bird tall grass. And here's the problem that I have. We still have them on national TV. Like, nobody wants to see the Lakers. I don't want to see them. Like, as good as LeBron James has been, I don't want to see bad basketball. It's bad for my children to watch. It's bad for kids around the world to watch. They play bad basketball. So, listen, when we talk about the Los Angeles Lakers right now, they are who they are. If a team have, if a person or a team show you who they are, believe them. They're not getting out of the, they're going to be in the play-in tournament. The West is too deep. They're going to end up facing one of those top three teams in the West, and they're going to be a first-round exit, Greeny. That's the end of it. There's no hope for them to win five or six games straight. There's no hope whatsoever.
That's what I've been hearing from Zach. Any hope? What is the match? What would be the absolute apex of what you could see the Lakers realistically accomplishing the rest of the way?
We need to have an intervention about the Lakers because I keep asking if they can get out of the play-in, and I'm like, they're six games out with 22 games left. They have the hardest schedule in the Western Conference. It's a road-heavy schedule. No chance, zero chance. Here's a reality check for the Lakers. The race that matters for them right now starts tonight against the Clippers, and it's the race for the eighth seed in the Western Conference because if you're eighth and not ninth, you have two cracks in the play-in tournament to win one game. And that's all we can ask of the Lakers this season. That's it. The race for eighth, two cracks to win a play-in tournament game to get in the playoffs and probably get spanked by the Suns or the Warriors. That is where we are. Forget the top six. The top six is over. Goodbye.
Fair enough. Okay. It is unanimous. Once again, Lakers on our air tonight against the Clippers on ESPN at 10 o'clock Eastern tonight. Meanwhile, you intrigued me yesterday, Big Perk. I want to come back to you. In the Western Conference, there's been a lot of talk about Zion Williamson, the young phenom star out of Duke. We haven't seen him at all this year play for New Orleans. And you were making a point of the one way you could see this working out for him with the Pelicans. For those who haven't heard it, Big Perk, share that thought.
He has to go and seek help, right? Like counseling. And I'm not talking about just from an average counselor. I'm talking about from one a veteran, a basketball-type counseling, a guy like a LeBron James, a guy like a Joel Embiid who was hurt early in his career. Look, it's time for Zion Williamson to clean house, meaning get everybody from around him that's telling him what he want to hear and not what he needs to hear. Because it seems like to me that he is lost. He is lost for direction right now. He needs something, and it's okay. He's a young superstar in the making. We haven't seen them yet, but at the end of the day, the same questions that we had and concerns that we had about Zion when he was coming out of Duke, we have for him right now. And for him not to be in New Orleans around the team speaks volumes to me. And it's okay for young guys to reach out, like guys like LeBron James, a guy that dealt with the same type of pressure, a guy that had the same type of status and hype coming in the same situation. The young man needs help and he needs guidance and he needs to get it fast.
I think that's really well said, and I hope that someone does take you up on that. That said, Zach, I have had on NBA Countdown, Stephen A. and others speculating, maybe a little more than speculating, about the idea that Zion may want to get out of New Orleans, which is a complicated place to be considering he's not playing at all now. What is your sense of all that, Zach?
Something is clearly amiss between the Pelicans and Zion Williamson, but I don't think it's that far gone yet that he's played his last game for the Pelicans or anything like that. First of all, what Zion needs to do is just get healthy and get in shape. The rest takes care of itself. He's a superstar player. He almost made All-NBA last season. You put him next to Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum, they have a decent team there. Like, let's start there. He has a broken foot. It's taking a long time to heal. That's the first thing. He's just got to get healthy. Everything after that takes care of itself if he's healthy and he's in shape. Something needs to be repaired. There's clearly a miscommunication and something of a trust issue, but I don't think it's irreparable yet.
Okay, fair. It's really well said. Guys, stay close. Much more hoops as we go on this very busy Friday. And a reminder, we've got the hoops coming your way tonight. How about the Heat? They've been so good all year. The best in the East taking on the Knicks tonight on ESPN. That's 7:30 Eastern. And then that battle of L.A. You'll see LeBron and the Lakers against the Clips. We will start your night here with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, Lamar Jackson staring at a huge payday. The Ravens quarterback may be worth every penny. But there is one red flag that must be addressed, and we'll tell you what that is next. Just like for a winning sports franchise, what to change, how to change, and who to change it with is vital to any company's success. Isn't that right, Johnny?
Yeah, that's right, Greeny. Cause the Effect encourages business and HR leaders to boldly bring about the changes they want to see in the world of work, providing the resources, research, and tools necessary to recruit and retain star employees. Creating a game plan to increase company productivity and improve the lives of workers is what SHRM is all about.
Thank you, Johnny.
One person can cause an effect. One person in HR can challenge outdated hiring practices, champion modern benefits, advocate for pay equity, and turn jobs into careers. HR empowers others to not only dream of change, but to create it. The actions of a few affect the lives of many. Join SHRM today to cause the effect you wish to see in the workplace.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up with a segment that we call Firewood. And every week we put together a new one of these graphics, and every week they get funnier and funnier. So, no, D. Wood's not firing anybody today. He's going to give us three things that he is fired up to see during this NFL offseason. D. Wood, what's the first one?
Yeah, Greeny, for me, let's start off with the Cincinnati Kitty Cats, the Cincinnati Bengals. Boy, what a magical run they had this season, culminating to the Super Bowl. Although they couldn't finish the deal, this is a young team, exciting team. Here's what I'm most excited about. I want to see what they do next season. You know, they got an opportunity to really improve themselves as a team. Address that offensive line, damn it. Can't have Joe Burrow all over the place. Address that, and you're going to prosper, okay? And the next one, what we got next, Greeny?
Off-season quarterback carousel.
We got the quarterback carousel. This is what I'm talking about in the offseason. We always talk about making major moves. The NFL is, like I said, the best reality show out there on television. Well, we got an opportunity to have fireworks in the offseason. We got guys like Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, other big-time quarterbacks that could potentially be moving to other teams and shifting the power structure to other teams in all around the league. And then lastly, Lamar Jackson. This is a guy, former league MVP, one of the most exciting players that we have in our league right now. And what I'm going to tell Lamar Jackson is simple. Damn it, do not get on that field until you get your money. I know you love the game of football, but do not go on that field, whether it's OTAs, mini camp, training camp, without getting that bag. Because, young man, you deserve it, okay? It's not just about the game of football, but it's also about the business of football. So get that taken care of first.
That's a really a point that is really well made. Jalen Rose always says it's there's the game of basketball in his case and the game of life, and he needs to play the game of life here because this is generational wealth that he clearly has set himself up to make. Let me bring the rest of the crew back in here. It's a little bit complicated, Mike T, in your experience as a GM. Lamar Jackson going into the final year of his rookie deal and does not have an agent in the classic sense. And Shefty was saying the other day that we've never really had a deal of this magnitude that had to be worked out in the NFL without an agent in the mix. How do you think that impacts everything?
Massively. For over 20 years, I negotiated contracts on behalf of clubs. I hated when a player didn't have an agent. There's a necessary role that an agent plays. They are a buffer. Players shouldn't hear every conversation that goes on in a negotiation because they may take things personally. And Lamar Jackson is a great player. I think the easy part, Greeny, the average per year, 40, 41 million, 42, it's somewhere in there. But he's been contacted 821 times in 4 years, according to Hembo. And when you watch him play, I would be really worried about his durability moving forward. He missed games this year. So the average per year is the easy part. How much is guaranteed? When it's guaranteed? We already talked about a guy like Zeke. Zeke's guarantee is preventing him from getting cut this year. That's the part that would be really difficult to get done, especially when a player doesn't have an agent.
Interesting. I keep thinking now about what D. Wood said. I hadn't really given that part of it a lot of thought. Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh obviously have a great relationship. They've built that franchise around his talents, mm-hmm. and it has been an enormous success. But there's a part of me that agrees. Until he gets his money, especially with the way that he plays, it might be dangerous for him to go out there on the field. Kmart, what is your expectation?
Yeah, I'm glad that Mike brought up how many times he's been hit, because that is something to factor into it. But that's also on the Ravens. You know, look at Lamar's 2019 campaign. He was the MVP. Their offensive line was top two at that point as far as how well it was playing. So so that's just not on Lamar. That's on the team. They need to bolster this offensive line because you know that you are committed to building around Lamar and you need to protect him. So that's on DaCosta.
Yeah, they've got to make some moves there. And, of course, they were just decimated and devastated by injury a year ago, including to Lamar, who dealt with injury and with illness. Is this a team that could be right back in the mix of things here? Mike T, and do I still have D. Wood with me here? Let's see. No, D. Wood not there, but I've got Mike T. Is this a team, you look at Cincinnati having jumped up to the top. Oh, I do have Damian Woody. Let me come back to you, D. Wood, because if and when they do get this situation worked out with Lamar, is this a team that was Cincinnati? You just talked about them trying to go back to the Super Bowl and the Steelers, and we'll see if they make some sort of aggressive move at quarterback. The Browns appear at this moment to be a mess. But is this still a team that you could see being at the top of this division if they get everything right?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Oh, absolutely. Like, make no mistake about it, Lamar Jackson is still one of the most unique talents that we have in this league. And I think Kimberly brought up a good point, is that over the past couple of years, we have seen the Baltimore Ravens offensive line take a couple steps back. That's really been the key. When Lamar Jackson was the MVP, guess what? Their offensive line was one of the top units in the National Football League. So they need to retool the offensive line, get that going. I would like to see them add a true number one receiver, although they drafted Rashad Bateman last year in the first round. If they can take care of those situations, you better believe that the Baltimore Ravens are going to have a lot to say in the discussion of the AFC moving forward.
That's right. But if I had a dime for every time someone has said on this show, the Ravens need to add a number one wide receiver, I have a lot of dimes. So let's see if they wind up doing that. Meanwhile, let's stay in the division and let's play a game called Awesome, Awkward, and Awful, the All Steelers Edition. If they need a quarterback, D. Wood, give me an option that would be awesome.
How about Aaron Rodgers? We saw when the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers played that little wink between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. I think that's just true admiration for one another. Could you imagine Aaron Rodgers with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin with the weapons that they have?
Yeah.
Okay, at his disposal with that Pittsburgh Steelers backing him up. Man, that would be truly awesome.
Yes, that was admiration bordering on flirtation. Tannenbaum, give me an option that would be awkward.
Cam Newton. It was awkward when I said that they were going to go to the playoffs last year with Cam Newton, so I've been off on him. It's over for him, and I think if they bring Cam Newton there, they have a different version of Ben Roethlisberger, which was a once great player that just declined really quickly, so adding him would be really awkward, Greeny.
And then to awful. Kmart, what would be an option that would be awful?
You're going to make me sound terrible, but it is Mason Rudolph, Greeny. Nobody in that building is excited and geeked up about starting the season with Mason Rudolph. I don't care what any of them are saying. And if you see Mason Rudolph trot onto the field in week one for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that tells you that the offseason plans did not work.
You're right. And Ryan Clark said the same thing. He said, if that's what winds up happening, then the Steelers, as we know them, are no more. All right, we talked about Rodgers. We'll get back to him in a moment. As he contemplates his future, the trickle-down effect on his team is real. We'll explain what it is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.